About the girl's neck was tightly drawn a strong piece of twine. A strip of cloth, torn from her underclothing, was also fastened about the neck. Not satisfied with the blows he had dealt on the head, one blow on the back of the head being so terrific as to discolor one of the girl's eyes, the slayer had resorted to strangulation to be sure that the last spark of life had been extinguished. A big twine had been drawn so tightly that it was embedded in the tender flesh, leaving the throat and neck discolored and lacerated. Strange notes increase mystery. A few inches from the body were found two remarkably strange notes. These notes, incoherent and almost illegible, only served to increase the mystery. Detectives declared there was no doubt but that these notes were written by the murderer and were a feeble and tragically grotesque effort at a ruse. They purport to have been written by the girl, and the wording would seem to indicate that she had written them after she was in the throes of death. "A tall black Negro did this," is the substance of the two notes. The notes are in the hands of detectives who believe they may prove to be valuable clues. The police were notified by the janitor of his ghastly find, and several officers were quickly on the scene, immediately starting a thorough investigation. After finding that all of the doors and windows to the building were securely fastened, the police took Newt Lee into custody on suspicion, believing that he could throw light on the tragedy. Lee carried the keys to the building, but protested that he had admitted no one to the building, and that he had no idea that anyone had been inside until he found the body. Detectives are certain that the Negro can explain the mystery of how the girl found her way into the building, even if he did not actually commit the murder. Negro pleads total ignorance. The Negro's sole statement to detectives since his arrest has been, "I didn't know nothing about it until I found the body." Detectives, however, declare the locked doors and windows render this statement unreasonable. The Negro was put through a grilling examination time and again Sunday and last night, but no amount of questioning could induce him to change his know-nothing statement. To every question, he replied, "I don't know nothing about it." Detectives are sure the Negro has not told all he knows and will hold him until the mystery is cleared. The theory that the crime was the work of a Negro held full sway and was assiduously followed by detectives until Sunday afternoon when E.L. Centel of 82 Davis Street, a clerk for the Camper Grocery Company, divulged the information that he saw Mary Fagan at Forsyth and Hunter Streets Sunday morning about 12:30 o'clock in company with Arthur Mullinax. He said they were walking in the direction of the pencil factory, which is but a few doors from this corner. Centel knew the Fagan girl and said he spoke to her as he passed. Since then, detectives have been working on both theories, job of a white man and that the Negro watchman is an accomplice, in that he knew of it. This gave a new angle to the mystery and set detectives on the trail of Mullinax, who was found late in the afternoon and placed under arrest on suspicion.